I'm going to read through the first 14 verses. It kind of constitutes like a paragraph. And we'll concentrate. If I can just bite off that much here this morning, I'd be very happy at the end of it all. If you just give your attention to the reading of the Word of God, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherever you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye have learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who hath also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, it starts off. Paul wrote this letter. We know that. There's no question about it. Who's he writing to? Well, turns out it's a dusty little backwater. It's in the Lycos Valley, along with its sister cities, Laodicea, which you have heard of, and Hierapolis, which is an inscription. You may not have heard of that. It's kind of like a little three-city, like I say, in the Lycos Valley, which is in modern-day Turkey. At that time, it was called Asia. The province of Asia is a Roman province. We call it Asia Minor, but I say it's in modern-day Turkey. Say, what's all that got to do with anything? Well, I'm just giving you a little background. But the reason I'm telling you this is because think about this. If we got a letter from the Apostle Paul, I contend that we have. But this is one of them, but I think 1 Corinthians was written to us, Romans was written to us, Ephesians was written to us, Galatians was written to us. But I think Colossae is kind of like us. Nobody's ever heard of it. When you're talking to family or friends from where, and they say, yeah, where do you live? Now, you'll say Augusta area, you'll say Waterville area. Nobody really knows Waterville unless they travel through Maine, go into the, Acadia or someplace like that, or unless they're going using this and hit 201 and go to Quebec, then they might have heard of Waterville. When I talk to friends and family from away, I say I live in the Bangor area because I'm closer to Bangor than I am to Augusta, and I wouldn't say Waterville. If I say, well, I live in Newport, they're like, well, isn't that in like Newport News, Virginia? Oh, Newport, Rhode Island. Well, no, it's in Newport, Maine, and nobody knows, okay? So I say I live in the Bangor area because I live in a small little town that nobody's ever heard of unless you happen to live in Maine. Colossae is that. Paul's never been to Colossae. He didn't found the church in Colossae. You're saying, well, what happened? Probably this man Epaphras in verse 7, who is the minister, this is the thought. This is the theology. Most people have settled on this. So he comes to Paul. Listen, we got problems. Who's we? Colossae. Never heard of it. Oh, yeah, it's in a little town near Laodicea. Paul's probably teaching in Ephesus for 3 years there. And probably Epaphras may have been converted at that time and taken the gospel to Colossae and started a church. Now it's run into problems. Why? Because churches always run into problems. We have an enemy. He's like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to devour you. I've said this only about 1,000 times. I'm sick and tired of hearing myself say this. But I want us to remember, he's not ambivalent about our spirituality. He takes your belief in Jesus Christ, sometimes more seriously than we take our belief in Jesus Christ. He's not like a laissez-faire about the fact that you might share your faith with somebody else. He's not like ambivalent. He's not like, yeah, if it happens, it happens. No, no, no. He's actively opposed to us discussing our faith, sharing our testimony, leading somebody else to the Lord. And then if you get that far, then you see his attack on you. If you actually cross over, become a Christian, then you say, hey, put on the boxing gloves. You're about to duke it out. Your life is characterized, Christian life is characterized as somebody who is just coming out of a fight, just getting ready to go into a fight, or in the middle of a fight. That's Christianity 101. I didn't set the rules. That's how it is. And we looked at that when we looked at the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we were told there we got to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there's a battle to be joined in. The ones who lose, the first casualties, the ones who never are aware that they're in a battle. So now what happens is that false teachers come in. Probably, this is debatable, probably they're precursors to Gnostics. I say Gnostics because it's a G-N. The knowers, in other words, gnosis, knowledge, Gnostics are knowers. They come in and they're like, well, yeah, Jesus, that's all cool and well and good, but if you want to be, you know, varsity level, this is also the stuff. And they come in and they have a lot of extra rules. They're very unorthodox. They make less of Jesus, more of angels. They have, and it's really hard to discuss because it's kind of like there's 1,000 different flavors. It's like vague spirituality in America in the 21st century. What do you believe? Oh, I'm a very spiritual person. And when you get down to it, they believe in, you know, they meditate and they believe of the about the God within, and you're talking to the next person, that person's crazy. I believe in the God of nature, and you know what I mean? It's like whatever flavor you want to settle on, and they're all equal. It's because we're multicultural, and that's how it is. So when you're talking about Gnostics, there's some things that are the same, and most of it's just because, like all cults, they try to make less about Jesus, okay? Either he's not divine, he's not the Son of God, he hasn't really saved you. He's an ascended master and a wonderful teacher, yada, yada, yada. We get all that, but now let me tell you about the really good stuff. And there's usually a financial, if you buy our books or our teaching series, we'll let you on the, and it's kind of almost like a secret society. Here's the secret handshake, here's the sign, you know, to get in the front door. Oh, that's going to cost you a little bit. And so Gnostics are like that. So Epaphras comes to Paul and says, listen, I got problems. I'm in over my skis. Help me out here. Because Paul's an apostle. Now this is important. Paul, an apostle, is how our little letter starts out. Listen, I have the authority to speak into your life, he's saying. Why? Because I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. You see, he's not one of the 12. See, this is how the problem is. There's three groups of people who generally don't listen to Paul. One, people don't believe anything about the Bible. Right? You say, well, Paul says, and they're like, Paul Schmall, what do I care? Now, the second group is liberals, and I mean liberals specifically, liberal theologians. Oh, yeah, I went to, you know, Bangor Theological Seminary. Oh, did I say that out loud? Seminary. And I know a lot about it because I got a Master of Divinity. And, Paul, let me tell you something about Paul. He's a little bit on the, he's a misogynist, and he's He's definitely a homophobe. Let's settle that. He wrote Romans in Romans chapter 1. Okay, we know these things about Paul. And so the Bible judges us. We don't judge the Bible, but some of us feel perfectly free to judge the Bible. If I put this book on the ground and stood on it and just like, well, I'm the authority over the Bible. Let me tell you what it, you wouldn't like that. But that's, people do that all the time. You don't have to listen to Paul. Where Paul says, let women keep silence in the church. See what a bad person he is. Now, we never think as Americans, well, this is the word of God. Women, submit yourselves. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. I got to rethink some stuff here. Wait a second. Oh, no. It's the Bible's a salad bar at best, and we come through with our tongs and we nab some lettuce because I like lettuce. Spinach, not so much. And celery, yeah. And I load on what I want, and I stay away from the Brussels sprouts or whatever it is that we don't like. And this is how we take in the Word of God. Listen, you're never going to grow that way. Paul is Peter, is John, is Luke. Now, we have our favorite teachers. We turn on the radio. Oh, Pastor Chuck, and we all smile and we settle in. Okay, I'm going to be here a while. I love Pastor Chuck. Or this one or that one. I just hope I'm in the top 100 of yours. Okay, that's all. There's so much out there, so much content. But you're here, and I appreciate that so much. But that's fine. And it is, because some people really speak to our hearts. They either, they have the, what they say is so, that they're thoughtful, they're godly, they're good. The Spirit of God is using them. I get that. And they're speaking into your life. We can have our favorites. Don't take that idea to the Bible. I love Luke. Mark, okay, we need the Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's our spiritual food. Well, think if you don't have any magnesium in your life. I don't know, how many of you guys eat magnesium all the time? Do you guys take I take magnesium. You take magnesium? If you don't, you know what? You might not be regular. You might not sleep well. You know, like 70 to 80% of America has magnesium deficiency, the experts tell us. And what's ailing you? It might be magnesium. I'm just saying. Now, what is this, health TED talk or something? No. I'm just likening the Spirit of God to a spiritual diet. I don't read the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. That's all I ever read. Wait, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. I've got those four. I don't think they're in the right order. But they're all important for all those things. All the Word of God is instructive. All the Word of God reproves or corrects me. All of it. I don't care about this. What, Genesis? You don't care about creation? You don't care about that it was a worldwide flood? You don't care that God called a man named Abraham, and you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed? So you're reading through Galatians chapter 3, and we're children of Abraham, and you say, Abraham, Shem Abraham, I don't know from nothing. No, it's all there. It's all to be received. Now, I get it. Some of them, you're dealing with Levitical law, and you're working through that. I get it. It's not as fun as the Psalms. I understand, but it's all the Word of God. It's all to be received, and it's all for all of us all the time. And I don't think we can pick and choose. Now, some people take Paul, like I say, okay, one, people don't believe at all. Two, the other issue is liberals. And the third group who don't like Paul are messianics, I call them. There's a... like either Jewish people who get saved and they want to keep on with their Sabbath and their, keeping their holy days and things like that. And by the way, God bless them. If I was Jewish, would I do Sabbath? Yeah, probably. Would I wear the yarmulke? I don't know. Probably just a baseball cap and call it good. Would I do like Passover? Well, I love lamb, I would. But I remember like one who's not Jewish, but he's a Jewish roots minister. They worship on Saturday and stuff like that. And here in chapter 2, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things come, but the body is of Christ. So he taught the exact opposite of what that said, seeing God has called us into keeping Sabbath and holy day and new moon. And he taught exactly the opposite and turning this out. Most people, because of what it says, what Paul teaches all through Scripture, and they kind of travel and tend towards legalism. And, oh, you know, you got to keep your no bacon. And so what Paul says, nothing's to be denied if it's true. If you pray and receive it in faith, it's good. That's fine. And so they're trying to keep and hang on to stuff that Paul says, no, we're past that now. And so messianics also. And it's interesting to me that all groups find a way to say, Paul, no, we got to negate him in one way or another. You're mature, most all of us. I'm happy with your growth, and most all of you who I know. We're past this. We're not this. But I'm saying this to a larger audience. I'm always aware of that too. Or if you are struggling to like, no, Paul speaks into your life. You don't tell Paul what his. You're not the authority. I've figured this out a long, long time ago. I really did. God doesn't want editors. He wants me to simply explain what he has told you. And if you could do it all by yourself, that'd be great, because self-feeding is wonderful. Does that put you above, neglect the assembling of ourselves together? No, we get mature, and then we don't think we need church anymore. No, we need church. I need church. And I need people to speak into my life. How come you... Not you. How come some people think they're past that? Really? And they get this hotline to heaven and God speaks to them directly all the time. I do believe God speaks to us. But I don't know that we can just kind of, okay, Paul's not talking to us anymore. God speaks to me directly. That's hot water. So he's running. We're still in the first verse. I got to get moving. But I just want to establish the authority of Paul. That's what he's doing. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's by the will of God. I didn't sign up, he says. I got drafted. And we read his story when he got drafted. Acts chapter 9. He's on the road to Damascus. Jesus says, you're mine, by the way. Lord, what will you have me do? Who are you, Lord? Jesus, I was afraid of that. You knew that was coming, right? And it's, okay, I get it. What do you want me to do? Oh, I got some stuff. Right now, just go to Damascus. I'm going to send Ananias. He'll fill you in on the rest of it later on. I want you to knock you down off your high horse. I want you to think about it and repent for a few days, and I'll send a messenger to you. It's kind of how it played out. So Paul, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's by the will of God. And Timothy is our brother. This is a prison epistle. Timothy's there with him. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. We've gone over saints and faithful brethren. Those on two different categories. He's saying this is true of you. One, you're a saint. Two, you're faithful brethren and sisters. It's all inclusive. In Christ, which are at Colossae. We're in Christ, and we're in Fairfield. Fairfield is the part that is stressing. Being in Christ is a blessing all the time. But being in the world, that's where our struggle is. So he's saying, you're going to need grace and you're going to need peace. And that's his salutation. We talked about that many times in the past. From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's where grace and peace come from. Grace, because you haven't earned anything except God's judgment. And if you're going to have peace with God, you better know Jesus Christ. You've got to be touched by the grace of God. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Really, he's never met these people. He didn't found this church. This isn't a warm friendship like Philippians is. But he's heard from Epaphras, and he just, that's enough. And I give thanks to you all the time. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So Epaphras comes and he says, yeah, you got to help me out here. They're wandering. They're going after this cultic teaching and they're trying to undermine my authority and everything else. I want you to write to them. I want you to tell them all this stuff. And so he does, and he's, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love. So they're very loving. Well, that can be a problem sometimes. You say, Adam, you're saying love can be a problem. Love that is not discerning. We just love everybody. We got these big old Christian hearts and we just love everybody. The lady comes knocking on doors. She's got the Watchtower magazine under her. Come on in. I got the coffee pot on. Oh, just no. No. Don't even tell her good day. I love the fact that you're loving, but discernment is important too. I think that's one of the problems. They're so loving that they're just accepting and embracing, and they got wolves there. Puppies are loving and wonderful, and if you have one, great. Wolves, not so much. You know, they will devour you if given the chance. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, talking about their salvation, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now he's establishing himself as apostle, and he's establishing the Bible, the gospel, as true truth. I always use that adjective, true, to talk about truth. Because in America, you have to almost, because truth is a sliding scale. Well, that's your truth, people say. I think I don't even know how to respond to something. Just on the face of that, is that the most ignorant thing you ever had? I mean, you go to school, right? And who's the first president of the United States? And you write down Millard Fillmore. And they put an X next to your paper. And you tell, well, that's the first important one you tell. Oh, George Washington, he's a slave owner. That was your truth, okay? And this is how you go through school and stuff. And the bank, the same way. I went in there. I told them I was a multimillionaire. They didn't believe me. And they said, well, you got $18.47 in your checking account. And I said, that's your truth. Do you see how ridiculous on the face of that it is? And now we talk about spiritual things, and all of a sudden everything is thrown into gray. I understand multiculturalism. You come in this country with your culture and your dress and your dance and your food, but especially food. Bring it in. Water's fine. Come on in. Legally, I mean, you know, we have our standards. You're vetted and you go through a process. I'm not anti-immigrant. Not at all. Being the grandson and great-grandson of immigrants, who am I? Who am I to say, oh, no, I'm in, you're out, forget it, no more. Yeah, I'm not a xenophobe. Come on in, bring it all in. You can discuss your faith with us, and we'll either embrace it or not, that's fine. But it doesn't change true truth. And he's talking about, he's establishing the gospel as truth. And it's come to you in verse 6, as it is in all the world. You're not different. You're not esoteric. You're not knowers. You don't have to buy into that. Listen, this is how it works. And you're part of, so when Travis Carey was starting a church down in Portland, he invited me and others as well. And he was showing, this is like three church buildings ago, right? They're in a real nice facility now. I wish you all went down to that marriage conference. It was really, really wonderful. The teaching was good. And just to see the facility and see all the people there and everything, it was a real blessing. Anyway, when it was small and in Westbrook, they invited me down, and he said, I want to show people that they're part of a bigger movement, that they're not just only isolated. Paul's doing the same thing in Colossae. Listen, you're not the onlys. Just these teachers are coming in saying, oh, yeah, Epaphras, yeah, he's fine for what he's fine for. But you really have to listen to us. We get the real knowledge. knowledge. He's starting to undermine their argumentation already. Imagine doing this by letter, and they're there in the flesh saying, imagine when this is read, they're probably squirming in their seats and everything else, and they're going to go right away, "Whoa, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about," right away, and trying to undermine Epaphras and undermine Paul. He's saying, "No, no, it's this way in all the world. Listen, the gospel comes, people get saved, you have a hope of heaven laid up for you. No, it's come to you as it is in all the world, and it brings forth fruit as it does also in you." You're part of the collective. You're part of the church of Jesus Christ all over the world. You don't have to know the secret handshake. You don't have to do extra and different stuff. And this is, he's starting to already undermine their argumentation. It's coming to you as it is in all the world, and it brings forth fruit as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And he's capitalizing on this, the grace of God. It's not in you knowing. Now think of that. How much did you know when you got saved? I'm proud of the fact that a lot of you are, I'm really happy. I look at some of you and I'm really happy with your growth as I see it. I'm serious about that. And some I'm thinking, oh, they're a little, this dragging their feet a little bit, but that's fine. We're heading in the right direction. So, but you're saved. Whether you know a lot or whether you know little, whether you're very devout or whether you're fringe, borderline, this salvation. And it's got to do with the grace of God, not with your studiousness. Now, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a place for that. We understand that. Why? Because when you know, they can't easily talk you into some. The watchtower lady has no effect on you whatsoever. The latter-day people, no. You just make short work of them. There's the door. Don't... off my porch, off my property. I don't even say good day. That's First John. We talk about another. Second John. We'll talk about it another time. It's actually Third John. Anyway, the grace of God and truth, as you also learned of Epaphras. Epaphras, founder of the church. He's a good guy. He's your, what is he? He's your dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. He's telling you the real deal. He's your guy. He's the one who established you. And now, why are people coming in and undermining what he's saying? He's also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay, he came to us, he told us about you, and we've been praying about you ever since. The letter's important, and the prayer is important. Now, he's going after this with some big, big guns. Paul's praying. If I told you I prayed about you, you guys wouldn't be so surprised. I mean, you'd figure a guy like me would do that. Guys like us, me and Sue's pray about you. Not as much as we should, not as much as we could. I think we'll have to step up in that department. But if I told you I pray about you, you're saying, yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Is that important? I think so. No, I'm just relying on my wit and wisdom and my ability to dish up what I've learned in the course of the week. And that'll be all the... I don't even pray because I know I'm all that. All by myself. Well, no, of course. Who thinks that? Nobody thinks. I mean, are there real ministers who even think those thoughts? No, Lord, I really want this to have just be awakened in their minds, that their spirit might be quickened, that they might really, because God at the end of the day is going to do it all. That's why he gets the glory. And that's why I told you before, I don't know what to do with compliments. That's okay, I don't get a whole lot of them. But when people say, oh, that was wonderful and stuff, I'm like, praise God, I say. Why? Because it's his word. I butcher it. I try to teach it. I try to share it. And I do whatever kind of job I do. My heart's in it, to be sure. But it is what it is. But at the end of the day, growth or not, it really depends on the Spirit of God. A lot more depends on me. I've always known that. That's no surprise. So he's praying, and this is what he's praying. For this cause, since we heard the day of it, we don't cease to pray for you. Paul's praying on a daily basis for a church he's never met. Yeah. Oh, man, that speaks to me. I'm sorry, I'm a little convicted here. Let me get over this. Isn't that awesome? So we have some missionaries out there that we support financially as a church. And way above that, I hope, prayerfully, I hope. And so we pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge, the real knowledge, not the fake stuff that secret handshake people, the Gnostics, not that. We want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, by the way, I skipped something. Back in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which you have for all the saints and the hope, there's faith, hope, love, and hope there. Not in order that we usually have, you know, but there it is. Faith, hope, and faith, love, and hope. Of course, the most important one we know is love from 1 Corinthians 13. If you Google, not Google that, but you look at your phone app and you put in, because it's word searchable, all your blue letter Bible and all that, all word searchable. You put in faith, hope, love, and then you'll words like passages like this will be illumined. You say, oh, it's all through Scripture. It's very important. Faith is like the past, what we rest on. It's without faith, it's impossible to please Him, et cetera, et cetera. Love is where we live right now. That's why it's the most important. It's the only one that we can really dramatically demonstrate, like right now. Hope is it speaks of the future, the blessed hope. What's that? Jesus returning. So those things are in play, and I read here that you might be filled with all knowledge, and like it just that clicked, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you to know Him. I want you to be filled with wisdom. I want you to get spiritual understanding. I want you to walk worthy. I want you to be pleasing the Lord. I want you in every good work being fruitful. I want you to know and know more and increase in the knowledge of God. This is, wow, what a prayer. This is important things for all of us. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. You got to know stuff, and then you have to be strong in what you know. Why are we here today? Well, to worship Him and to learn what He has for us, and to know it, and then to be able to stand on it. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. When I talk about strength, you always kind of flax, and you all think like, yeah, I hit the gym this week, and we had a good week, and no. It's not our strength. We're not strengthening our strength. We're strengthening His strength. When we're weak, that's a really good place, Paul says, because when we're weak, He's strong. But there is strength, but we're not. And I've said this like a number of times. It's not like you screwing up all your courage, all your effort, all your muscles, all your, and going out and, you know, tilting at windmills and trying to make stuff happen in the power of your own flesh. The flesh is flesh. The best of men are men at best. I've lived a long time. Not impressive. The thing that impresses me about anybody is them living for the Lord, them coming to the place of the Lord. I can't. You can. I don't mind the prayer, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The guy who says, look, it's not me. It's otherworldly. It's more than I can. I say before, Satan comes and he tempts you. And you just resist. What are you, ridiculous? I've been ridiculous. I don't know if you are or not. I thought it was all on me and my. Listen, he comes and I'm such a little coward. I just run to the Father. The mean wolf is after me. I think it's a good place to be. I resist Satan, not on the power of my strength. I don't have any. I'm fighting the spiritual battle with physical muscles. Do you see how senseless that is? I'd like to think I'm not senseless. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, which is ultra available to us all the time. Lord, you got to help me. I'm going to fall right now. I'm going to, you know what? This person was really bad to me, and I forgave them in faith. But now I feel really, Lord, you got to help me make my choice valid. I always say forgiveness is both like a crisis and a process. I've decided in faith to forgive somebody. It's a bitterness is a prison. I ain't walking into it. I've been there. I'm free. It is for freedom Christ set us free. Don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. I'm not walking into that cell again. I've been there, not doing it again, right? Lord, help me. I got real bad feelings now. And you know what I really feel what turns the corner when we're talking about bitterness? Okay, forgive and pray for that person. Blessing. Your heart will change. Your heart will change. You do that in faith. You're doing the power of your own strength. Yeah, good luck on anything you do in the power of your own strength. And this is his prayer. I want you to be strengthened with all my... I want a church. I want a strong, strong church. We all go to the gym and we all work out. We all... No! No! I want a strong church in faith, in the power of his might. Lord, I am so in over my skis. I need you to show up right now and help me out. He'll just leave you flapping in the breeze like he always does. He won't. That song, he won't. He won't fail. I don't know how many times that's been a real blessing to me, just thinking like, no, he's always been there in the past. He's not going to be not true to himself. Just think of you, Mother's Day, Mama Bear. When one of your little cubbies is in distress, you don't care. You're totally indifferent, right? Please. Real mother and a cub and a bear, I don't get between, okay? I'm not that stupid. A mother bear in, like, when somebody and they think that I've said something or done something to one of their kids, I'm not that stupid either. One, I don't do that. And two, I'm going to, as quick as I can, explain what went on. Because I understand. I understand how moms can be that way. Well, he's our loving Heavenly Father. He's not indifferent to your suffering. He says, call upon me. Cast all your cares on me. I care about you. Prove me in this. Then we cast all our cares on him, and it's like, oh. And he shows up and wins the day. Immediately, all the time, he's not like that. Again, he's not our errand boy. He's not a step and fetch it. He's our sovereign God, but he loves us, and he knows what he's doing. Strength of the Almighty, according to his glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So this is the other part of the thing I was saying about it. So we pray, and what next? Sometimes long-suffering, sometimes patience. But there's joy in that, being able to bear up under for a long period of time sometimes. Sometimes, I have to say this, sometimes decades. It's been my experience. You don't want to hear about prayer and decades in the same sentence. I know. What do you do? Like I said before, I'm very, very concerned about my son. You believe that. I don't have trouble convincing you of that. He's not walking with the Lord. I'm very concerned about him. So far, no movement yet. So what do I do? I don't have an answer. Keep praying. Long suffering, patience. I think the joy when he comes to the Lord, you ain't never seen a fatted calf feast like the one we're gonna throw. I'm tell you right now. Will there be joy? Oh yeah. Giving thanks unto the Father. This is still his prayer for them. Giving thanks unto the Father. It's strength of the Almighty, according to his glorious power, and all patience, long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, fitting, right, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Absent any extra knowledge by these so-called ones who come in and make us super Christians. No, we're giving thanks to the God. He's made us to be, and this is fitting, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. What is that? What is the inheritance? Our inheritance. Everything that is. The meek shall inherit the earth. Everything that is. Think about when Joshua, not Moses, it could never be Moses, the lawgiver, right? It had to be Joshua, Yeshua, the Savior, leading the children of Israel into the promised land to inherit their promises. The law could never take you there. Faith does. And what is it? Hey, see this land? See these walled cities? See these grazing animals? A lot of them out there. They're all yours. The 12 spies going through. Hey, don't be abusing that donkey. I'm going to own that in a couple of weeks. Think about it. Everything. God says, here you go. You inherit it. It's all yours. This is what Joshua does. This is what our Joshua does. You like the world? Oh, he's going to carve it up, and you're going to have as much as he's happy to give you. Oh, he's the king. But you, every man under his vine, under his fig tree. You'll have plenty. Yeah, but I'll have to fight to keep it. No. They're not going to learn war anymore. They can take their implements of war and turn them into agricultural implements, right? They're going to take their swords and beat them into plowshares. When Jesus gets to rule, this is going to be the way he wants it to be. Inheritance. You're part of the inheritance. You're going to inherit with everybody else. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Listen, this is true truth. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. I hope that's your experience. You can be as frantic as you want. You can be as nervous as men's hearts failing them for fear. You don't have to cast your cares on him if you don't want to. You don't have to let the peace of God rule in your life if you don't want to. Well, I want to. I just don't know how. Stop. I understand there's a process there and stuff. I get that. I think some of us, sometimes we just... He's delivered us. I'm going to say this. I just want to say this is gentle and... But I want to be firm. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Satan doesn't win in our lives any victory that we don't give him. And I've seen, I'm a sports guy for a long, long season. Have you ever seen somebody snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, just misplay something in a situation where they give the game away or something like that? Yeah, we've all seen it. 1986 Red Sox. Oh, don't bring that up. Come on, you're going to ruin my whole day. Hey, we've all seen stuff like that. Right? That's life. That's how it is sometimes. Don't let it happen to you spiritually. He's given us the victory. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, he's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour, but he's given us the power to trample on snakes and scorpions. Have you never read Psalm 91? Don't we have victory over the serpent and over the lion? So I'm in a Bible study. This is lion, serpent, why them? Why the symbols of Satan? He's given us spiritual victory. Don't you know that there's no weapon that's fashioned against you will stand? I want you to think of that for a while. I want you to kind of roll it around and you nom, 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 taste it. Just, isn't that super tasty? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't he awesome? I cringe in fear. Satan, he's just, what has he got for me now? And he's, I'm running around like a hapless, can't even survive or live, or he's just going to eat my lunch every day. And I'm just going to try to hang on and hope that for a better day tomorrow. Would that bother you if I was like that? Wouldn't it? It bothers me. I see this, and I'm not pointing at anybody in particular, but I've seen this in the Church of Jesus Christ. It bothers me that some people think like, well, somebody smokes cigarettes. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about cigarettes. No, but I mean, most of us would quit if we could. What is it saying? When you say you can't quit, what is that telling me? You're saying that the Holy Spirit of God can't, 3-inch piece of nicotine, he can't, or whatever it is, I just picked on one that, because we can all pick on smokers. That's the new leper in our society, right? Whatever, there's something really spiritual. I talked about bitterness. I talked about fear. Think about, you know, we went through the study of Joshua, inheriting our promises. Are we still on the outside of Jericho looking in, saying, gee, I wish this big old walled city would go away. I could really make some hay if I could just get over this. Really? Here's his prayer. I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be strong. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to understand some things. I want you to walk worthy. I want you to be pleasing to God. I want you to be fruitful in every good work. I want you to increase in the knowledge of God, strength with all might, according to his glorious power. It may take patience, may take long suffering. The end result is going to be joy. I want you to be thankful, grateful. By the way, this is a new health thing, they say. Gratefulness is really, really benefit to your health. I'm thinking, big surprise that, right? Doing anything godly in the way God wants is going to have to result in a benefit. Giving thanks unto the Father, he's made us fitting to be partakers in the inheritance. See, what is me? What am I? What am I that I would be partakers in his inheritance? You're his own child. When your great late greats died, they didn't give me anything. They might have given your parents or you. When your parents die, they'll give you money. They won't give me money. Why? Because they're your parents. Well, that's how it is. God's our Heavenly Father, and the inheritance that comes to Jesus Christ is given to us through Christ. That's why it's fitting. He's delivered us from the powers of darkness, and he has, boy, amen, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I don't know. This, to me, this is like, how come this isn't on the front page of every newspaper? How come this isn't the lead story on every newscast, right? In whom we have redemption. He purchased us. Redemption means to be bought from the slave market. He's purchased us. In whom we have redemption. How's that, Adam? Well, through his blood. So he purchased us, and what did he purchase with? His blood. You're the most costly creature in the universe. The cost of redemption was the coin of the realm, so to speak, was the blood of Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sin. So I ain't doing this exactly right. I ain't living. All these things I'm talking about, I'm not the paragon of all these virtues. I'm not the, okay, I want you to look at my life and do exactly as I do perfectly because I've got it all. Well, I generally don't even talk like that, even joking usually. But I've got this, the forgiveness of sins. Even when I'm getting it not so right, even when I tell you about forgiveness, but then I would have bitterness and I would be slow to forgive in some situation. Is that ever the case? Well, not that one so much. But let's say fear. Okay, fear doesn't come from God, right? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I say that, I teach that, and I aver that to be so. Do I ever have fear? Well, yeah. Yeah, sometimes a little bit, yeah. I'll admit it. Is fear sin? Well, if it's not a faith, it's sin. Do I confess it? Yeah. What happens? Even the forgiveness of sins. He purchased when he died, when he shed his blood, he purchased. This is my last point because our time is just about over. This is what he bought, our ticket to heaven. He purchased something that he doesn't need, and he's given it to us. It cost him his blood to do this, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, listen, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on your godly character, but nobody's perfect, and maybe once or twice you actually did something called sin. I'm not exactly sure, but I know I have. What about it? Forgiveness. And I went, well, Satan came and he tempted me, and I had a flesh eruption. I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, because I was such a knucklehead. And I didn't think all the way through. And, you know, that's how, you know how that is. Just caught you in a moment, something like this. And, oh, mouthful of gravel time. Now I can, you know, sin at leisure, repent, and what's that? I don't even remember that phrase. What is it? It's sin at leisure, repent at. Anyways, so here it is, and I'm like, oh, I messed up. I can't believe it. Lord, forgive me. He's like, oh, yeah, done. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. Remember, he takes our sin, and he puts them into the deepest part of the ocean. As far as the east is from the west, oh, his forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Because he wants us to do all these things, to be all these things. He's praying that this is my prayer for you, but none of us are actually this. When I'm reading down to this, you might walk worthy of the Lord and dwell, and you're thinking of who? Who's doing this all the time, every time, perfectly? No, we're struggling. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're getting on with it. We're doing it, but sometimes not so good, so we're going to need some forgiveness. But there it is. And at the end, heaven. In the interim, eternal life. And power over all. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. In our strength, no in his.